Ephesians chapter 5, please. Ephesians chapter 5. I would like to personally add one thing to what Andrew said as he gave words of appreciation. The brethren and the believers here in the assembly in Jackson for your kindness. And what I would like to add is amen. It's always great to come back to Michigan. It's great to come to Jackson. Thank you very much for the invitation to be here and the opportunity to share in the ministry with my good brethren. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. I meant verse 23. Sorry about that. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Now verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. Now, just before I run out the door, I will stay till the end of the day, but before I escape to safety, I would like to speak to what God has been speaking to me about, and that is the subject of husbands. You say, you don't have much experience in this. Well, I'm out of kindergarten, maybe. I finished 25 years, and that's why the Lord has been speaking to me. The reason I want to speak on this is very simply because I'm looking at an audience of young people. I have a boy, our youngest boy, has taken an interest in archery, bow and arrow. And so he got a bow, and we took him down to the range, and at the range they give some classes. And so he's actually, the teacher there is a very interesting fella. He has one arm, and he is not just, has represented the U.S. and the Paralympics, but he is actually so good that he participates, even though he only has one arm, in the actual Olympic team as well. And Eric is amazing. He shoots holding, pulls the arrow back with his mouth. He has a mouthpiece, and he pulls it back, and it's an incredible shot. And so one day to teach them, one day in class, they'll teach them how to stand, and one day to how to grip the bow. And one day, I loved it. It was great. He lined all the kids up, and they were each in their spot on the range. And he said, now, get ready. And they have a whistle system, and he blew the whistle. Draw your arrow. Full draw and hold. So they all put their arrow in, and they pull it back, and they're holding now. He said, now, just before you shoot, what I want you all to do, look at your shoes. So they all looked down at their shoes. He gave the whistle, fire. There were arrows bouncing off the floor in all directions. So they thought that was great fun, and he took them all back to the line, got them back up. He said, draw your arrow, full draw and hold. So they were waiting to see what was going to happen this time. He said, now before you shoot, I want you to shoot, try and hit the target. But he said, I want you all to look at the ceiling. So they all look up, fire. There were actually light bulbs that were shot out. Got them all together, and he said, now listen, kids. Point of today's class is this. Wherever you look, that's likely where your arrow is going to end up. If we look at Hollywood husbands, don't be surprised if you get one of those lousy, you might have a beautiful Hollywood wedding, but you'll end up with a Hollywood marriage. And if you have, there are some here undoubtedly, and example of a husband that they have seen in their fathers at home has been very poor. Perhaps your father's not saved and he has given a poor example of what a husband is. Maybe there are some of us that have been privileged to be raised in a home and we look with great admiration at characteristics in our fathers. Don't look at our fathers. I want you to notice that the Bible directs us. You'll get the theme now that I've had in my thinking lately. I've been looking at all of the different ways the Lord Jesus is held up as the example. And here, if you could just say it carefully, he is the example of the perfect spouse. And this is in this sense. Verse 23, what does it say? It says, husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ. Verse 25, husbands love your wives, even as Christ. Verse 29, no man, I got the wrong verse there. Where is it? You get the point. Even as Christ. Homework, there you have it. Don't trust notes. The point is just this. I want to just present to you the Lord Jesus now as the perfect model for all of us. And if you have felt like a failure, join the club. But let us renew our sights upon him. And hopefully the arrow will not land too far from him. I want you to look, first of all, at this passage. Really, there's just two things. There is his roles, and then there are his responsibilities. The roles of a husband and the responsibilities of a husband. Now, when it says that Christ loved the church, we heard yesterday very clearly that there is a difference between a local church and there is the church which is his body. That's what this is referring to. Not a local assembly, but the church which is his body. All believers from the day of Pentecost until the rapture, and that group that is called the church, which is his body, that's the figure here, that Christ loved the church. So what is his role relative to the body? Because roles are going to determine responsibilities. For example, if after the meeting and we're leaving the conference and we're going down the freeway here, I-94, and suddenly I pull up behind Andrew Robertson, who is flying along, and I motion him over, and he gets out of it. I get out of my car, I walk up, I haul him out, I put him in handcuffs, and I write him a ticket. Impossible. I don't have that responsibility because I'm not in the role of a policeman. You see, the responsibilities we have are all going to come out of our role. And the Lord Jesus has two roles, according to verse 23. It says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is, rule number one, head of the church. And rule number two, and he is savior of the body. Now, when it comes to head, I'll just mention it. It speaks about the church, which is his body. It's a head-body relationship. It is nothing more intimate and connected. It's pretty obvious. But also the idea here is very simple this. That in a head there is an authority and there is accountability. A God-given authority to carry out the will of God and to be responsible, accountable for that relationship. The Lord Jesus has all of the authority in the relationship with the church. And he is accountable. There is this which you see in the Lord Jesus. That Christ loved the church as the head. That does not mean that the body is secondary. That's actually what gives the body significance. Is that he is the head. And he will treat the body. He goes a little further and he talks about a man and his body. We treat our bodies with great respect. And we should. And we give our bodies treatment and significance. It is the mind that is working. And that is that authority. But there is that accountability and that responsibility that results in the body having significance. And so as head, a husband is called to be like even as Christ is head of the church. What a standard. To become a leader. A true biblical God-directed leader. To take God-given authority and carry out that responsibility. That's what Adam had. And so when there was sin, even though the woman ate first, Adam, where art thou? Accountability. There had been a failure on his part. And we see that very clearly there. Now, the second thing as it says is he is the Savior. Now this is not, I take it, that this is not the Savior in the sense that he is the Savior as the Savior of sinners. And that he saved us from going to hell. That's not really the idea here, I don't think. I think what it is referring to is that he is the preserver. He is the one who is keeping the eternal security of the church. Never to be changed. Why? Because the church is something? No. It's because he is the preserver. He is the one who is going to protect and preserve that church. And so now, just take that into a marriage relationship. What is my responsibility? What is yours, brother? And if you're single here today, when should you start thinking about these things? Well, back to the range. Just two Saturdays ago, I was there with Jake again and got up the line and I was watching and he was shooting and beside him there was a girl, no offense to the girls, and she had a recurve bow and she pulled it back. Recurve is, you don't get as quite as much power as a compound bow, and so she pulled the thing back and it went, and they were shooting quite a ways down the range, and so as the arrow was floating down the range, she was going, to the right, to the right, to the right. I wonder if there's some wives here today that are going, to the right, to the right. You see, from the very beginning, it's far better to get it going in the right direction. Here is the standard for husbands. As Christ is the head and Savior of the body. That one who is giving significance and giving security to that body. You see the beauty of what Christ, how Christ treats the church. He has this role, and he is the head, and he is Savior, preserver of the body. Now let me move quickly through this. I want you now to come to the responsibilities. Come to the responsibilities. But maybe I should just make one comment to our young sisters who are here. Young sister, if you have to take time every day to send him texts, like 57 times his comments, send him photos, snap, whatever thing. If you have to keep yourself in front of him, because after all, he's shy. Because he's got to notice you, and if you just get him to start the relationship and you give him a good kick, maybe he'll keep it going. Don't kick him. Any young man who is not sufficiently equipped to be a leader in a dating relationship is not sufficiently equipped to lead a marriage relationship. You see, that's what the teaching is here. To be, but there is this beginning responsibility, and we learn along the way, and we model and we recognize our failure, even as how far we fail. But the head and Savior responsibilities are very clear. Roles are here before us, as seen in the Lord Jesus. But now I want to come to the responsibilities. The responsibilities. One responsibility that maybe doesn't need to be said to this audience, and that is this. It is never a responsibility of a husband to make his wife submit. I have a dog. And it is my responsibility to be the alpha male. I read that in a book, so I don't know what that really means. All I know that means is when I walk up to the dog, he flips upside down. What's up? Okay. Because I have made him submit. That is not my responsibility as a husband. Submission is not my responsibility. That's her homework. What are my responsibilities? Look at the model that we have now in the Lord Jesus. You will have three couplets and then one word. There's seven actions. And so, by the way, that means that being a husband should be a very active thing. Not just kind of going along and see what happens. We are called to to this model of an active Savior. Notice the first couplet. You have it in verse 25. Husbands, love your wife, even as Christ also, here are the first two actions, loved the church and gave himself for it. Loving and giving. Loving and investing. Isn't that the idea? Why, in the Old Testament, just imagine. I don't know whether she heard those words. She probably did. There's Ruth, and she hears the words of Boaz. What does he say? He says, Ruth the Moabitess. Yeah. Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, however you say that man's name. Ruth the Moabitess, wife of Mahlon. I have purchased. You say, well, wouldn't that make you feel kind of like a went to the market? No. She understood that this way. Here is a man who has loved me enough. He's been willing to make a big investment for me. A wealthy man has poured out all because he wants, he sees value in me. Isn't that what you have in the example of Christ in the church? If you take that as an example in the parables of Matthew 13. There is a pearl of great price. And he goes and he takes out a few extra coins. No, he sells all that he has. This is an investment of value. What is he teaching? Will the church ever doubt whether the church is valuable to the Lord Jesus? Will we ever sit there and say, I don't know, maybe there's something else that's more valuable to the city? Never. He loved the church. Christ loved the church and he gave, he poured out, he invested, he took all that he had, and he has made the church feel, because it is to him, the most valuable possession. Pardon me for using that word because I couldn't think of another one in the moment. So the question is now, the responsibility of a husband is putting this as a couplet, because that's the way it is in Scripture, is to so live and treat my wife, you brother treating your wife, so that she feels like she is the most valuable person in our lives on earth. Of course not ahead of the Lord Jesus. I didn't even need to say that. The most valuable. In other words, that there's no competing value. There's no other woman. There's nothing that's more important. No hobby. No job. No car. No computer, video, whatever those things are. No, nothing. The absolute value. What a responsibility. To every day be working to caring, loving and giving so that she feels and is most valuable. But then the second pair is to sanctify and cleanse. That's what you have in the next verse. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church. So sanctifying and cleansing. These are priestly words. Sanctifying and cleansing. That he might wash by the water. You can almost picture a priest there, and he's sanctifying. Isn't that a priestly word, sanctify? And it has to do with holiness and washing. Like they did, they washed their hands, and there was the washing of the sacrifices, and there was priestly activity. So this is really spiritual now. And there's even getting rid of so that there won't be any blotches and wrinkles. Now, brother, just a little personal advice. I don't want to sound like an old man. I'm not even 50. I'm a long way from 50. Like 2 weeks. Here's the advice. Do not go home from this conference literally and say to your wife, I was just noting that you're looking a little blotchy and wrinkly. I'd like to help you with that. Only do that if you're interested in getting dental work. You see, this is not what this is talking about. This is looking at the Lord Jesus now as he looks at the church. And he is going to present it one day, but he is currently active sanctifying, cleansing, putting it all. It's going to be lovely to be part of a church that's absolutely perfect. Our Lord Jesus, the ultimate and consummate priest, will he make us better? Absolutely. Could I ask you, brother? I ask myself, after just 25 years, is your wife better off now for having been around you? Better off spiritually? You say, well, doesn't she have her own spiritual responsibility to the Lord? Sure she does. Is she more Christ-like? Or have I just acted so to bring out the flesh in her? Because I think we're all pretty capable of doing that as husbands, aren't we? To sanctify and cleanse. Useful to God. Better off. To be showing those heavenly graces. You say, really, is there any examples of that in the Bible? My mind goes to the Old Testament. I think there was a man called Hosea. Can you imagine having his homework? There was a man. And at the end of it all, there's a man, a priestly character in the way he just seems to operate.
that man works under God's direction. I know there's all kinds of lessons for the nation through it all in pictures, but just on a very practical level, may God help us. So what would happen now? What would have happened with a wife if there was a wife who had a husband who was sanctifying and cleansing? This would all mean that there would be tolerance and understanding that things are not perfect. But this would be that she would become the most beautiful person she could ever be. I give you permission to go around and interview every wife here and ask them, would they mind living with a man who was interested in investing to make them the best person they could be for God? I think they'll all say, I'd be glad to. You see, that's the goal. Even as. And then there is nourish and cherish. Nourish and cherish. I have enough trouble with this in Spanish, much less in English. Nourish and cherish. If. Nourish. That's a word. It's very interesting how that word occurs. It only occurs one other time in the Bible. And that's what it says in chapter 6, verse 4, about fathers, that we bring up our children and mothers as well, brought in there, bring them up and then nurture them in admonition of the Lord. I just take a very simple lesson from that. When it comes to the health, the provision of a family, would I be happy with my wife raising my children the way I am providing for her? Well, you say, oh yeah, I make the big salary, I give her the big portion to go out to Costco, and I give her the 5 credit cards, all's well. That's not what this is necessarily talking about. The idea here is health. To give her the attention that she needs and she... To give... Let me ask you. Does Christ give attention to the church? Does he provide for all of the needs of the church? Perfectly. See how high the standard is? To be providing. You know, if you go to a Spanish dictionary, you will find that Spanish biblical dictionary... I haven't quite found it so much in English, but very often they will say that the Spanish verb for nourish here is the word engordar. Yeah, some of you who know a little Spanish are trying to figure this one out. That means to make fat. But I won't be going there. Get the idea, though? Healthy. Well provided for. Well attended to. As Christ has attended and is attending to the church. What a standard. Cherish, that's a word that you have in 1 Thessalonians, only used twice as well, where it talks about a nurse with children, where that nurse is giving that warmth and affection now to that child, and that's the idea here. Christ has provided full affection. What do I learn then? That the church is the most cared for. And so, my dear brother, God has spoken to me, how cared for, not just with money, but what about time? What about affection? What about health? What about warmth? To take on that responsibility even as Christ with the church, nourishing and cherishing. And last of all, the last verb is that he might present. That he might present. Actually, you will find if you go through the verbs, you'll find that he talks about the past. He gave himself for it. And it talks about the present, sanctifying and cleansing. And talks about the nourishing and cherishing. And then it comes to the future. You know what I learned from that? It's just something very simple from my heart. Love and give, the most valuable. Sanctify and cleanse, the most beautiful. Nourishing and cherishing, the most cared for. That he might present, never any doubt of anything different. The most secure. The most secure. Now, just imagine this. As a young girl, she's about to get married. The husband takes on these responsibilities. And for the rest of her life, she is going to be to him the most loved, the most beautiful, the most cared for, and the most secure. Any young sisters want to sign up? No, don't get in line. Please, stay in your seats. Any husbands who go home with homework tonight, I think we all do. May we just set our arrow, our sights on the model, even as Christ. What a difference it would make if we refocus on the roles and we refocus on the responsibilities to act and to live as husbands, even as Christ.